Sorry, this is something that I drew when I was about 7 or 8. stereotype. It says, Italy. Nice days, romantic nights. And this is my stereotype of Italy. There's this sort of smile. At the restaurant. You know what? It's Italy. No, I think it was fly to Italy for
Pictures of You, a workshop with Cara and Rebecca Walker, curated by Luca Moreno. So of our soul skin like flute ski
anora yeken kafta ilti. The workshop is built around the idea of photos taken by a person whose identity we don't know, and also the subjects that are depicted we don't know, and narrative imagination. And the idea is that this kind of exercise is a basic exercise in humanity, I would say, because you have to somehow think about what kind of life they are living, what kind of moment depicted.
This person you're listening to is Luca Morena. He's a philosopher, and he curated the workshop. So, what is it all about?
Philosophers like to say that we are equipped with some kind of theory of mind. We are naturally inclined to recognize human intentions without knowing the person. We just project our knowledge on the other persons. And this basic, also cognitive scientist says that this is a basic cognitive feature of humans. But the very interesting thing is that this feature is of course linked to our capacity to build fictions, to create narratives. And the idea is also that this capacity is linked to our capacity of being tolerant, of being citizens of the world. And this is an idea that especially a philosopher that is called Martha Nussbaum advocated in recent years. That is the idea that by means of the exercise of narrative imagination, we become better citizens. And basically, democracies, the quality of democracies gets better. What is the link between the theme of the workshop and your work? I believe it resides exactly here, that is, in the idea that if you exercise imagination, we are not applying stereotypes. And this kind of exercise is what is provided mainly by arts and humanities.
Almost 30 students, divided in 5 groups, took part in the workshop.
My name is Jose. Our group is Extraordinary Families.
I'm Ruth Kerr, and the group is Extraneous Bodies.
My name is Martina. And the name of the group is Diversity and Identity.
More like a collection of questions.
My name is Filippo, and the group is Consequences. And the question is,
what did Cara and Rebecca Walker talk about with the students that participated in the workshop? Narratives, empathy, reliability of the image, archetypes, stereotypes.
I'm more interested in this approach, frankly, for me, this idea of the longing to be a part of, because that's what we all, when we look around the world, there are all these people and we're irrelevant to them in some way, and yet we long for the connection with them, and the connection is there if we can figure out a way to get there. But that's the journey of trying to live here on this planet, is how to do that. So that would be emotionally more interesting to me. But Cara, I think, is always thinking more conceptually and visually, and I'm thinking more narratively, classic. Because I want to know about you. I think as for me as a viewer, I need to know about you, and I'm not sure that I can learn about you without more something grounded more in narrative, at least conceptually narrative. That's my feeling.
Rebecca Walker is a writer and author of 5 books, among which the international bestseller Black, White and Jewish, and the book Baby Love. But let's go back and see what the whole discussion was about. The workshop approached the main issue of stereotypes and imagination from different points of view. It was an active exercise of creative imagination.
Of who we are, So we're looking at all of these different artifacts from our lives, and we're creating our own meanings based on who we want to be at any given time and how we want to understand ourselves, which is very much about memoir and what you need to create an identity for yourself that serves your purposes at any given moment. And so you can look at the artifacts of your life. It doesn't matter really what happened. What matters is the way they contribute to what you need to work on in your own development or creative moment or evolution, and what you need to use to serve who you need to be at that moment. So that's creating your own personal mythology. And many people become very upset because they feel like they're being used as objects within your own description of your newly found or needed subjectivity. But that is one of the risks that you take as a person whose work is doing that. And that is one of the reasons that often we are assaulted, because we need to do that in order to survive for some of us. There's an emptiness to these documents, and the emptiness is potentially powerful if we can use them in a way that is how we need to use them. And that's our own mythology. We're creating our own life.
What if, you know, these women in their, you know, that's culture.
That's another take.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with the emotion. That's so interesting.
She's
how we're different.
Yes, she's visual.
He's taking them hostage, actually, with his gun, and he's going to march them off.
You
hide them,
like
bury them under
show.
The table.
Look,
yes, I am
that.
A bit
look
of a puppet
you.
Show person.
Yes.
And somebody has to rescue.
What happened is that during the workshop, the discussion between the students, Luca, Rebecca, and Cara, bloomed from the analysis of orphan photos, found pictures of which we do not know neither the photographer nor the people or the situation represented, and everyone shared their experience and thoughts.
What I was thinking about, there's a series of photographs by Lorna Simpson.
Here is the artist Cara Walker.
She found photographs of several of the same Black woman, and there are a few of some other men posing, you know, sort of homemade photos, but model photos, pinup photos, and she looks amazing in each one. They're from about the 40s or 50s. And then she re-photographed herself in approximations of the costume. And in this group of work, you know, she'll have taken, you know, this portrait of this, you know, elegant woman and re-photographed herself, you know, in an approximation. And then in the installation of this work, I think it's about 225 photographs, the originals, or reproductions of the originals, herself, and then there's a repetition and a rhythm that starts to emerge of, you know, sort of sometimes differences in the pose and, you know, the same take, like different takes, like in a film set, you've got different takes of the same sort of shot and some are the same ones. And so there's this kind of interesting repetition where you get sometimes the feeling of an overlap, but without the sort of like didacticness of overlapping. And so as you move through the images, you actually start to kind of make those connections about mutation and mutability and time and the passage of time and, you know, a historical photograph and a contemporary photograph. And, you know, this the sort of action of merging and mutability and mutation happens sort of physically in the space.
Photographs, pictures to empathize with, images that make us deal with the idea of stereotype and archetype.
Maybe it is another ingredient in this kind of discussion.
Well, that's what I like about looking at the images and the gestures and then trying to see past the gesture into what the actual subject may be feeling. Because, like, I'm sure that the Rodin model was not sitting there thinking. He was sitting there, yeah, he's sitting there thinking, how many hours, how much money am I going to make, how can I feed my kid, this hurts my leg, you know what I mean? So the empathy thing there, I think, is very good, very important. It would be interesting to see what everyone thinks of us, of how different people are.
What is this group?
All right, we're still going.
Wow!
Allora!
Okay.
Who's next?
I think this group here. They are the pose. We need Lucas. We need Lucas. And he's good at that. He's the hammer.
I would have them speak it, and I would give them one question about each thing. And you guys don't have a lot of time. You got that right. This is like, you know, like I would say, like, what do you think about this boy? For each picture, you know, something to help people just zoom in and just, and then you have it, you know. Like I would say, God, I love that boy. I want to be that boy. Look at that boy. I mean, you know, and then you have this.
Made me think about Betty Saar.
Uh-huh.
And Betty Saar, because, you know, this is an artist who's an African-American woman, and she made some very politically charged work in sort of 60s, 70s, and black arts movement, and using a lot of cultural, you know, stereotypes, you know, sort of mammy figures, and sort of arming them with, you know, sort of a more militant political agency of the era. And I think on one hand the work is extremely sort of legitimate, especially for that political moment, but then I question it for reducing the impact of that image to its opposite. It's like, here's the image reversed. And it's not a very kind of complex equation to go from happy, sad, you know, or, you know, obedient, rebellious. So I think for me, you know, the work still, you know, it has a sort of legitimacy here, but it also lends itself to deconstruction and critique. And I think work should do that. You know, our work here should do that too. So, you know, this is
right.
This all kind of runs the risk of like going like, well, this is this or that.
Right.
And what we kind of want to see is like some really complicated, mixed up, ambivalent, you know, emotions that are more human and, you know, maybe less monochromatic.
Right.
I did answer what is for me an archetype, and I did for a while as an undergraduate painter really think I was into sort of myth and archetypes and Jung and, you know, this kind of study of like our common, you know, dream life.
I would say that an archetype is both a culturally constructed and larger piece of a collective global zeitgeist repository of images, dreams, and myths that shifts over time.
But I think it is a way for me sometimes as an artist to sort of process what I don't know I know, you know, sort of my unthought knowns, and see what emerges.
Our work is to try to kind of examine those archetypes and our relationships to those archetypes, and to thus subtly transform them and suggest that archetypes are not fixed but can be more malleable than we think that they are based on the Jungian model. But to think of them ultimately as just ideas, thought forms that are not necessarily set in stone. That the human being, the human body, the human mind is infinite and has tremendous potential and is fundamentally empty. And so that you can work with those notions that seem so entrenched, right? But it's a way of shaping our world and our psyche so that we feel comfortable. Archetypes do that. But whether or not they're biological and human and universal, and, you know, I think there's some aspect of that, but that can always be tweaked, and that they're more like tropes.
What I hope is that that's not a solipsistic activity, that's just about me and my own thinking, but that there's a common link to you know, a history of embedded stereotypes and archetypes and narratives, you know, jokes and mistakes that, you know, that I hold on to that aren't not too different than the jokes, mistakes, and narratives that, you know, others hold on to. And I do think that to some extent, you know, those types of narratives that live in the unconscious are sometimes culturally, you know, there are cultural specifics to them, you know, in what language they occur and to what fairy tale they're ascribed. But there's, you know, common links that I think we can tend to appreciate.
Is a project by Carol Haupt and Ilaria Gadens. This production was made possible thanks to Fondazione Merz, Torino.